Lamentations, chapter 2 and verse 5. The Lord, of course Adonai, was as an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased the daughter of Judah in the daughter of Judah, mourning and lamentation. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle. Yes, read it and weep. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord, Yahuwah, hath caused the solemn feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger, the king and the priest. He did it. That's right. And here I have another witness for Daniel 9:27, where it says that he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the middle of the week. It's the Messiah who did it. He did it. The Almighty did it. That's the one who did it. When he said it is finished and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, he did it. When he destroyed the temple, the Babylonians came in and, yeah, they were the instrument in his hand. But here it says he did it. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. Yahuwah, by name, names him, the 3068. Hath caused the solemn feasts and the Sabbaths to be forgotten. 7 years desolations. That's what Jeremiah is talking about here. The Babylonians came and destroyed the temple, and they lost it for 70 years until it was rebuilt. 70 years desolations. And he did it again in 70 AD. Oh, he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the middle of the 70th week when the Messiah was crucified to the wood, and before he gave up the ghost, he cried, he said, it is finished. It was finished. That's right. The sacrifice made once for all. He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. He did it. No one else did it. Oh, he used the arm of flesh to do it, of course. But he did it. He, chapter 2, verse 6 of Lamentations, he hath violently taken away his tabernacle. The violence was by the Babylonians, but he did it. He brought the violence. He brought the destruction. He put an end to it. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle as if it were a garden. You know, it's like I go out and I dig up my garden every year. Just take it away. Yep, it's done. Let's pull out those trees and put some different trees in. Let's turn that soil over as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. Yahuwah, by name, the Lord, hath caused the solemn feasts and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord, Adonai, hath cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her places. They have made a noise in the house of Yahuwah as in the day of a solemn feast. The Lord, Yahuwah, hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languished together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. That's right, her kings and her princes. Remember, the king was taken captive and carried off into Babylon. Along with him, Ezekiel, Daniel carried away, That was 11 years before the destruction came. Everyone who was left behind, who didn't go out and obey the Heavenly Father, they were destroyed. They were besieged in the city. And it was a terrible time. It was an abomination of desolation. The first one. That's what we're reading about here. The second one followed from the middle of the 70th week when they lost the sacrifice and oblation. 40 years to the desolation that was determined came like a flood, just as prophesied by Daniel the prophet and the Messiah, both prophesied of the doom of the priest, temple, sacrifice system, the doom of Jerusalem, the doom of the nation, the total destruction, the desolation. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from Yahuwah. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom, what thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee? O daughter of Jerusalem, what shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee? O virgin, daughter of Zion, for thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen thee false burdens and causes of banishment. We read about that in Ezekiel. Talked about the wall of the false prophets. They built it a wall, a false prophecy. They didn't see the doom, the destruction, but they tickled itching ears. Yeah, they told the people what they wanted to hear. There was no repentance. You know, why should we repent? Everything will be well. The Lord will save us. And they point to the prophecies, you know. Yes, they pick and choose what they want to preach and hear, what's comfortable. And then if they don't like your prophecy, they throw you in prison, like Jeremiah was thrown into prison in a city that was doomed. And he was there until the end. And when the end came and Nebuchadnezzar came into the city, he freed Jeremiah, set him free. That's right. He had heard about Jeremiah, that Jeremiah told the people, he gave them the word, told them to repent. And when they didn't repent, then he told them that they had to surrender. And some surrendered and went out. And then some didn't. And the city was sieged. Then they suffered a terrible thing and destruction. The complete desolation came because of the abomination, the first abomination that maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. If you want to understand what that means in the Gospels, it was completely fulfilled. In 40 years, it was completely fulfilled. That abomination that maketh desolate that the Messiah was talking about. No, it wasn't about some future event of some fantasy from Left Behind and all the counter-reformation eschatology that people believe in today. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. They have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity. Yes, if they had prophesied truly, yeah, if they didn't lock up the true prophets and let the false prophets be popular and have all the airtime on the radio, that's what's going on today. You know, they didn't have radios then, but you get the idea. Yes, the popular ones, the ones that got all the attention, they weren't allowed to turn away the captivity, but they have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Yahuwah hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down, yes, the Almighty, and hath not pitied. And he has caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He has set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river. Day and night give thee no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Adonai, of your Adonai, the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. And yes, we can do this individually. And I believe here, you know, when Jeremiah is using the Adonai, it's like it becomes personal. It's my Lord before the face of my Lord. Make it personal. You cry before him. The nation is not doing it. The nation is going to be judged because they have altogether turned away from him. They've elected a man who's trying to, you know, that's trying to bribe the other nations into doing homosexuality. Oh, yeah. I mean, what the heck? We already got it. They're already teaching it in the public schools. It's okay, yes, let's everybody laugh on it. And they put it in the little sitcoms and they have the cute little homos in there, the cute little sodomizers in there. And they make jokes and they laugh about it and everybody goes along because they've been schooled to go along. Oh, that's okay, it's a choice. If you like that sort of thing, it's fine with me, yeah. You know, everyone to his own. Uh-huh. How about everyone to the obedience of the Almighty? And not walking in licentiousness of the image of the state, the image of the beast, placing his laws above God's law. Say, oh, it's all right. It's okay. Yes. It's not against man's law. And what do we care about that old Bible, that old antiquated book of fables? Yes, you don't believe that stuff. That was then. We're modern now. Yeah. We've got automobiles and computers. We don't have to pay attention to that Bible, that Word of God thing and all those laws. We're free from that. That's right. I can go to church every Sunday and I can rest in assurance that, oh, thank God that I don't have to obey the law of God. That's a heavy burden. Yes. I'll tell you what, if you don't obey it, the heavy burden is coming and we're reading about it. You're going to be weighed down by your own transgressions and you're going to stagger and fall under the weight of your disobedience. Yes, you can save yourself. We may not be able to save a nation. It's unlikely that we're going to save America. I understand prophecy. We might get a reprieve for the nation, but the only way it comes is not through, occupying Wall Street or getting rid of the Fed. If we could get enough obedience, those things would go, but I don't think they're ever going to go. I can read Bible prophecy. We might get an abatement. They might be held back for a while. If enough people turn from their wicked ways, we could get a reprieve. I would like that. I'm at least going to get a reprieve for me. You know, I'm going to turn it back, but the only way to turn it back is to step up. To enter that holy nation, that set apart nation that covers, that goes over all the earth, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, learn obedience, endure in his kingdom, endure learning obedience, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, all of those things that are against his law, regardless if they're allowed or even commanded by the laws of men. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, yeah, they wouldn't go for it. They were commanded to break God's law. Daniel commanded to break the law of the Almighty, and he would not. Even at the price of their own life, they would not. They are our example. Fear not them that kill the body. The Messiah said it. He confirmed it, that that is how we're supposed to behave. That's our mandate. Fear not them that kill the body. If they command you to break the law of the Almighty, you're not supposed to do it, even if it costs you your very life. If they allow you to break the law, well, then you have a choice. You go, well, yes, I want to kill my child before he's born. Yes, oh, yes, I want to commit adultery and sodomy, and I want to marry, you know, my fellow man, men marrying men and women marrying women. Yes, the law of man allows it. So you're placing the law of man above the law of God. You are worshiping the image of the beast. That's right. That's what it means to worship the image of the beast. But he says the mandate from Daniel, from the word of God, from the lips of the Messiah is to fear not them to kill the body, even if they require you to break God's law. You're supposed to prefer death. How much more when they give you a choice? Oh, we all allow you to break God's law. You should still prefer death, even though it's not required. You don't have to go along. But if they require you to go along, you're supposed to prefer death. That's right. That's why millions have been martyred. Hundreds of millions have been martyred over the centuries because they prefer death to the command to break the law of the Almighty through torture, through watching their families being mutilated, raped, and murdered before their eyes. Still, they knew that the price to pay for capitulating was higher than the price they were paying for obedience to the Almighty. And it is. And if you don't understand that, you need to understand the price for capitulating. It doesn't matter what they tempt you with. It doesn't matter what they do to your children or your wife or to you. The price is higher for disobedience to the law of the Almighty than it is for obedience to him, no matter what the price is. And we have to be prepared for that as believers, true believers in Messiah, for the time that's coming on the whole earth. I don't know how fast or soon. I think 10 to 20 years off before they're going to start killing people for not joining in the new social order, you know, the whole mark of the beast thing. And I think it's 10 to 20 years off at least, somewhere in there. I don't know how soon it can all happen. Seems like things are escalating and things are really, it's like the snowball rolling down the hill. It's getting bigger and it's growing faster. It feels like that now, but 10 to 20 years, maybe it could be longer. We could abate it, you know, put it off for longer. I wouldn't mind. I don't know what's going to happen or how soon it's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I have an outline from the scripture, but how fast it'll happen, I don't know. But we have to be prepared for that as the church, the true church, the true set apart holy nation has to be prepared for what's coming. We need to prepare our children and our grandchildren for what may be coming and have them to realize, like Daniel, like the Messiah said, fear not them that can kill the body and anything less than killing the body, including torture and any kind of torture or coercion that they may use and that they have used in the past. We have to prepare for that. We have to understand that the price for obedience or capitulating is higher than the price of obedience to the law of the Almighty. Because the price to be paid for disobedience to the Almighty may be your soul and forever. The price to be paid for obedience to the Almighty and not capitulating even under force, threat, and duress, under the threat of your very life, is only temporary, because all they can do is kill you. That's the worst they can do. They say there are things worse than death, and I tend to agree with that. But you have to have enough faith that the Almighty will bring you through anything, and he will. that he'll carry you through anything even worse than death fate. But finally, all they can do in the end is kill you. And then you have forever. And all the promises of our Heavenly Father are true. I know it. He's revealed it to me, and he can reveal it to you. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And diligently seeking the Almighty means that you put his kingdom first, and you put that diligent search for him before and above everything else. If it doesn't become before and above everything else, then it's not very diligent, is it? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Diligence. Before and above everything else. Because I know there are a lot of people, I had an emotional experience, but you'll get tired of that. And they got tired of it. Yeah, the diligence wore off. And they lost it to the cares of this life and the pride of life and the deceitfulness of riches and the temptations of the flesh. And they let it all fall away for a temporary gain. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Forever's a long time. This life is short. Even if I live another 50 years, I could. It's possible. It's possible. But what good is that if I lose the prize, the eternal, the promises of God, of being in his kingdom forever, of staying in the kingdom that lasts forever? It's worthless. What good is it if I gain the whole world and I become the richest man on earth, but then I have to relinquish it all, even my own flesh when I die? Gonna leave it all behind. You can't take nothing, and don't kid yourself. You shall surely die. I mean, how much more evidence do you need that the word of God is true? Go to my website and watch the video there, The Greatest Prophecy, the first chapter of the DVD, and understand that all the evidence that you need is in you, that God is true and every man is a liar. You shall surely die. It's true. The proof, the evidence is in you, if you want to see it. If you don't want to see it, well, you'll be blind to it, even though you can't escape it. You shall surely die. It's the truth. The book is true from the beginning to the end. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Watch that video there, The Greatest Prophecy, Chapter 1 of The Greatest Prophecy DVD. Everything you need is there to know that his word is true, and the gospel is true, and all the promises are true. Well, bless his holy name in everything you do. We'll see you next time.